Hey, how about we send you a new PT Pinecast sticker delivered right to your front door, absolutely free? All from our friends at Arius Medical. Just click it
at ptpinecast.com,
and then you can stick it
anywhere you want.
Yes. Just hit the website right now, ptpintcast.com. Click it and stick it with Arius Medical
and PT Pintcast.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, so the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now, and we are at the Inova Capital City Sports Summit. And before coming to this, I didn't even know what to expect. And then I read the itinerary, and it was everything. It was like, if you have anything to do with athletes, we've got you covered. Literally, head to toe, we had 15 minutes, a half hour on turf toe. Literally, head, concussion. We started with concussion. We ended with turf toe. We've got you covered. Introduce ourselves from right to left. Dr. Robin West, you're in charge of putting this whole thing on. You're like the grand poobah.
I guess so. I don't know how I do it, but how it works out. I get great speakers and hope for the best, but I was very happy with it. Second annual.
This year is the second one. So yeah. Who do you work with primarily? What's your Monday through Friday? What do you do for the audience? Let's frame it up.
I have my everyday athletes, my everyday patients. I take care of active patients from all ages.
Weekend warriors like me?
Yeah, weekend warriors, high school athletes, college athletes, you know, very active people. I did an ACL reconstruction last week on a 70-year-old guy, but he's a competitive skier. He skis 6 weeks out of the winter. Yeah, he's a guy I take care of. I also take care of the Washington Nationals and the Washington Redskins.
They're like, are they professional teams?
They are professional teams.
They play sports, right?
They played sports.
I like to look for similarities and differences. You worked on an ACL for a 70-year-old competitive skier, yeah. And you oversee the care for literally the top, I don't know how to do math that small, like top 0.01% of the athletes. What are the similarities? What are the differences?
You know what? I try and think about it all the same, really. So okay. When I had this 70-year-old on the table and he was prepped out, right, so no one could see anything but his legs. When someone walked in the room, one of the nurses walked in and said, oh, how old is this patient? Like 20-year-old? What happened? How'd they injure themselves? And I said, no, he's 70 and he injured himself skiing because he had knees like a 20-year-old. I try and treat every patient the same. We try and give them the exact same care, right? And so we want to know what happened. We want to give them the best outcome and get them back to what they love to do. And that's my goal.
All right, Robin West. Stefania Bell is back on the show.
Repeat offender.
You might be the only three-peat. The three-peat. Phil Jackson had that first.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Better ask your audience.
So what's new with you?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be here because Robin invited me to moderate a panel this afternoon, which was impressive just in who it all brought together. And you already mentioned the agenda for the conference. I think it's a testament to Dr. West, collection of people that are here. People take time out of their schedules and make an effort to get here. And really, this is an NFL-themed sports medicine conference. She brought in experts really at the top of their field in all these different realms who deal with NFL players. So very honored to be a part of it. What can I say?
It's cool to see how everybody comes together and kind of collaborates. Yes, the guy who works on the toe wants to know about concussion. So he recognizes I'm not an expert on concussion, but let's go listen to the expert on concussion.
Well, and I think you see a lot of just even from the panel that we did this afternoon, there's a lot of collaboration.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that I think has improved. We were talking about the evolution of medical care in the NFL, but it could be any sport. I think that it's much more collaborative and people aren't working in silos as much anymore. But the evidence that it's more collaborative, I think, is the fact that on the panel, we had representatives from NFL physicians to the head athletic trainer for University of Pittsburgh, so NCAA. And then we had reps from the NFLPA, which, you know, we happen to have one right here on the podcast.
Yeah, so let's go around from right to left. Your last guest on our show right now, introduce yourself.
Yeah, Sean Sansbury, Vice President of Business and Legal Affairs for the NFL Players Association. As I said on the panel, I'm here because I had 5 knee surgeries myself resulting from football. And
really?
Anytime I can hang out with Robin, I take advantage of it.
Yeah, you gotta
that's really it.
You got to be close to Robin in case anything goes wrong.
Exactly.
At any point of the night, you can just say.
Getting up and off that stage.
So what positions did you play? What 5 times?
I was an outside linebacker, but coming down on special team against Cornell versus Yale, and was wearing my wet cleats on dry turf and took a helmet to the inside of the knee and ACL, MCL, meniscus, broke the kneecap, and fractured the tibia on one play.
Ooh.
Didn't walk for a little
Show
while.
Off. And by the way, you can't trust Yale. This we agree on. Yep. You went to Cornell, I went to Princeton.
Yale blew out my knee, so it's okay. No hard feelings here. But, you know, we talked about some cool things today, like the interaction between cleat and field surfaces, and ultimately how there's a higher risk of lower extremity injuries and catastrophic lower extremity injuries on artificial surfaces, and what's going on in the NFL to ultimately mitigate the long-term risks of what is an inherently dangerous occupation.
Yeah, so funny, you talked about silos. I like the fact that everybody in the room was from kind of a different stream. Everybody's from a different lane, and they're not staying in their own lanes, which is good. They're listening to other lanes.
Right, well, in the audience, you had athletic trainers, physical therapists, you have some massage therapists, we had neuropsychologists presenting today, you had
ophthalmologists,
team physicians from all aspects.
A couple NFL players.
Some cheerleaders. Everyone is represented.
I got to stand awkwardly next to Ryan Clark and take a photograph. I like to think I take a decent photograph, you know, with my buddies, but then Ryan Clark comes around and I automatically get real stiff and rigid. Like, hi, Ryan Clark, can I take a picture with you?
Why does he look so good in his suit?
Because he's got giant muscles. It's not the suit.
That helped.
It's his giant muscles. I also like students, too. There was a medical student for Georgetown. There were some student PT students. Yeah, I like that a lot.
So orthopedic residents, primary care docs, physical therapists, a chiropractor.
But I think I want to go back to Sean was just talking about the shoe surface interface issue. Like on the panel, you had Sean who was talking about that from the NFLPA side. You had Dr. Bob Anderson, who's the foot and ankle guy that sort of renowned, was with the Carolina Panthers, but really has been a consultant in all the big 4 sports. And is really involved on the research side from the NFL, looking at safety with relation to footwear and that shoe surface interface. So I just think that everyone on the outside perceives the relationships as adversarial. And it's not to say that there aren't disagreements, but there's also a lot of work that happens in collaboration.
Yeah.
And you know that that's my big soapbox thing. Is in medicine, I believe in collaborative practice. I think you're seeing it in the sport, the professional sport now between the Players Association and the league working together in the interest of player safety. With that as a theme, and again, it goes back to being a credit to Robin to be able to assemble those people in a room and have them share.
Look at that party you just threw, that science party you just threw down. We're in a W Hotel. We're overlooking literally the White House and the Washington Monument.
And Jefferson.
right which there. Is actually That's my favorite monument.
It's my favorite too. I see it right
love
there.
Jefferson.
Looking right at it.
But literally you threw a party downstairs all day, all this weekend of a bunch of people who have a little bit in common, but can help each other so much, which is so cool.
I love it personally because I learn every time I do this, right? And so I pick the best and the brightest from each field and I bring them together.
Yeah.
And this is how we get the business done in the back of the room.
Sure.
When Robin brings us all together, we're finally forced to get something done.
Now, I started in orthopedics and sports. I'm a sports guy, but I pulled an audible, sports pun, and I went pediatric in physical therapy for my first job after PT school. And even I see that collaboration between PTs, OTs, and SLPs with the kids that I work with. It's good to see when people aren't looking adversarially and they're saying, hey, what do you see about this kid? What can you teach me? Because I know a lot about my stuff, but I recognize that you know a lot about your stuff. So what can I learn from you? Instead of what can I tell you about what I know?
Yeah, you know, it's really a team approach, right? So everything we do, to me, like, why not have the best and the brightest taking care of everyone are these athletes? So we have to work together, get each other's information. When I'm doing a surgery, I have a surgery next week on one of the professional players. And it's a surgery I do a handful a year. But I have a guy in my hospital, he's a trauma surgeon, who does a ton of them a year. He does 100 to 150. So why not get my head trauma surgeon to come and help me with this case?
Sure.
You know, why not have the best and the brightest taking care of these guys and getting them back?
Yeah. But you could be like, oh, I've got it. you know, yeah, I don't need
your
help.
Ego at the door. Ego is like dropped, right? And so I love taking care of the players and, again, consulting and talking to them and getting them first, second, third opinions, whatever they want. But you have to give them the best care possible.
Yeah.
And our players feel the same way. I mean, on the field, our doctors and trainers are our first responders in the healthcare context that is the NFL. And while the NFL and the NFLPA are often in an adversarial relationship, health and safety is ultimately a non-negotiable issue, and while it's our obligation to constantly challenge the NFL to do better in health and safety, regardless of where we are, we're going to work together ultimately in the best interest of the player, as the patient, as the person, and then as the athlete on the field.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I think the other thing that's interesting at this meeting is you're hearing about research, you know, we're always talking about research, so you expect there to be research in medicine. But when you find out that there's research projects that cross over between things that are initiatives from the NFLPA side and the league side, plus people in their own practices or related to their academic work, and everybody's bringing the information together to try and make changes in the interest of player safety, that's huge. I don't know that people who don't work in the world that three of us work in would realize that these organizations like the Players Association are so involved in that aspect too. I think they think of it as just like contracts, you know, and not really.
They have no idea.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have to follow the science. That's the only way we're going to make this game safer for our guys. And so, you know, one of the things we talked about on the panel today is the fact that the NFLPA has invested heavily in bioenhanced ACL repair. So a way to repair your own ACL, heal your own ACL by suturing it, putting a mechanism around it that allows for blood clotting, and the tissue actually grows back together. The healing time is estimated between 4 to 6 weeks.
Wow.
There's no atrophy because you're not pulling from the patella tendon or the hamstring or using a cadaver. So obviously recovery time is anticipated to be much quicker. We've gone from animal models with that to a 10-patient safety trial to a 100-patient efficacy trial with universal success. And now we're moving towards commercializing that. And the NFLPA will actually own a portion of that to give return on investment to the players.
Wow.
And that's just one example of 11 pilot studies we're currently funding through a relationship with Harvard University, and 24 minority research institutions, in addition to an occupational cohort study that really is designed to determine the incidence and severity of illnesses and injuries that are suffered as a result of engaging in this occupation, professional football.
Yeah. Often we have people downstairs, and I say downstairs, I mean what happened at the conference, very, very smart, research, cutting edge. How do we get that to the masses? And you're saying we're putting that out there because it's very good to know something. You know, so what, now what? Now what are we going to do with that? So it's good to see that the research is being done and being put into practice.
Well, and education's a big piece of it too.
Sure.
I mean, we spend a lot of time throughout the year talking to players, talking to team medical staff, and bringing those two groups together to make sure that all this sort of modern state of the science is communicated to the patient.
We're about to take a quick break in the show, live from the DC Sports Medicine Summit with Dr. Robin West, Stefan Ubell of ESPN, and Sean Sansevier of the NFL Players Association. Back in a second with the rest of the episode. Don't move.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Want to say a big thanks to our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. Look, if you're a PT and you want to work anywhere in the United States, you want to travel somewhere, you want a part-time, full-time assignment, Aureus Medical Staffing. You want a friend to go with you, a PT, a nurse, an OT, somebody in the medical field, you can have a travel buddy. And what does it cost? How much does it cost you, the PT, to get signed up so they can go look for jobs for you? That's right. Nothing. It doesn't cost you anything to reach out and talk to the experts at Aureus, who are then going to figure out what you want, where you want it, and then go get it for you. Aureus Medical Staffing. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. Check them out online and get a job doing what you want, where you want it with Aureus.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. What does the audience need to know about what's next? I always like to know what's on the horizon. because I'm here with cutting edge people. You guys probably know stuff you shouldn't tell me. Don't tell me that or tell me that. What do we have to look forward to?
That ACL repair or biologic repair.
I am excited to hear about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is something on the forefront, at least all the biologics, right? So right. We have stem cells.
All the orthobiologics, that's the big term now.
That's a big term.
Using your own body.
Using your own body to heal itself. But we have to be careful with that also, because we have to make sure that mechanically it's the right decision. Because that ACL repair is great for certain kinds of ACL tears, but for other ACL tears, it's not a good idea. And so we have to make sure that that decision is made correctly and that we're using it wisely for that.
What do you think? What's coming down the line?
I just report on what's coming down the line. I don't have to create it.
I hang out and drink and talk to smart people.
But I do think that, again, it goes back to what people don't know and what Robin just referenced is people who consume the sport of football. This guy has an injury. How long until he's back out on the field?
And why do they want to know that? Because they're on their fantasy team.
Fantasy
no, because they're on their fantasy team. That's why.
But the point being that what you hear her say is everybody's treated individually, which is really important in medicine as well.
Yeah.
So that all the characteristics are taken into account. There's not a formula. There's not a magic bullet. But the science is going to help us get to what is the most expeditious, efficacious route to getting people back and how to implement it.
And I think there's two sides to a player's involvement ultimately in medical research and what's next. So, I think pharmacogenics, to follow on what they're talking about in terms of personalized medicine, I think we're going to start seeing that play a bigger role across the healthcare industry, but certainly in professional sports. And then on the business side, what I talked about in terms of the NFLPA and players ultimately having an ownership stake in the development of this next medical innovation. I think we're going to see that more regularly as we continue to push the frontiers of research.
All right, so we have a segment on our show. We do it every episode. It's called Parting Shots.
This is the Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum. Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT.
As well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
What would you want to leave, since most of the people listening to our show are physical therapists? What's one little nugget of wisdom you'd want to know, Dr. West, what you want to have physical therapists think about as they go forward and treat their next patient on Monday morning?
Well, that's a hard question.
You know me. I'm easy. What do you think I'm going to say? I've been on this enough. I say the same thing every time.
Well,
I have a good practice. That's my big, that's my thing is use the people around you to make yourself better.
You know, I mean,
they don't have
that
to be
is,
in your own discipline.
Yeah, that is interesting. So when I train as an orthopedic surgeon, you train in residency, right? So we train to be surgeons.
Right.
And we also train to be physicians, but not really. We're working to be a surgeon.
So it's special and then even more specialized.
So the interesting thing is we go through medical school, we learn all about the biology. Everything, biomechanics, and then we get to orthopedics, and we only have 5 years to become a surgeon, and we've never held a knife in our hand, never scrubbed into the OR. So here we are, we have 5 years to do that. So we are pretty focused on the surgical aspect of it. And then in fellowship is when I learned to do sports medicine, right? When I learned about the collaborative experience, working with the athletic trainers, the physical therapists, the chiropractors, or whoever these guys are seeing.
Yeah.
These guys come in, and they have a whole slew of people they're working with. They're working with their own private masseuse. They're coming in with IV bags and asking me to hang these IV bags. And, you know, my nutritionist from Mexico wants me to hang. I'm like,
oh, no.
Okay, so we've all got to work together. Let's all be on the same team because we all have to work together.
Yeah, you don't want to be shocked when someone walks in handing you an IV bag
I'm not hanging it. I have no idea what's in it. So we have to work together for that. I think that's where I learned. All of a sudden, sports medicine is all about this collaboration. Everyone always asks me about working for the team. So I'm not employed by the team. I'm employed by Inova Healthcare System. I work with the Redskins. I work with their players. But I'm really independent. I mean, I'm just there to take care of the players.
Which is probably better because you're there for the players and not the organization.
Yeah,
so I bet you the organization even appreciates that because their mindset is get the players better.
Get the players better, yeah. I mean, obviously, you have some pressure from the coaches. And you have pressure to win the game, right?
Right.
And of course I want to win. I mean, that's great because you get to know the players and you have an invested interest in the players and in their success.
Right.
So you want them to win, but I also want them to be – I want their life to be – healthy.
Because they're not just a player.
It's not just
they're a
player.
Person.
So I always look at that very individually.
I like that. Parting shot of wisdom. What do you think?
I learned a lot today at the conference. I'll point out one thing our medical director, Tom Mayer, said, and it's pretty random, but he said, crepitus is never good, right? And so my parting shot of wisdom is that all generalizations are typically false,
okay.
including this one.
I like how you do that. I like that a lot. Everything's false, including because I said everything this one as well. Appreciate you putting on something like this. I know this is the second one. I'm excited to see what this is like 10 years from now, because I think this thing can only gain steam. It is only going to get better, because the more people who come to it, the more they're going to whisper in the hallways and bring a little more people into it.
I alternate every year. So last year was baseball. This year's football. Next year's baseball.
I like it.
We got to just keep it interesting.
Well, I'll come back.
I'm still crashing the party.
All right. You're welcome.
I'll come back. I like it very much. Inova Sports Summit here in the Capital City Sports Summit in Washington, D.C. You can't beat a view like this, guys.
A little rainy, but
it's
all right.
A little rainy. It's fine. We're still looking at the White House and the Washington Monument and our favorite, Jefferson, at the same exact time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Appreciate you guys for talking
Thanks
to
so
us
much.
In the middle of this, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast's CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.